I'm Joni De Winter.
And I am Susan Grant.
And we are part of Bell Street,
who are an events band and production company.
And we're here to talk to you about our fun and failures
on our journey to being scared but doing it anyway.
And today we have an absolutely fantastic guest for you that we can't wait for you to listen to this one, to be honest.
She has been truly inspiring, and we have loved every moment of just sitting and listening to her journey.
So we'd love to hear what you think. Let us know. Sit back, relax, and prepare to be inspired as we talk to
Jess Luck. So today we are joined by a wonderful guest, Jess Luck, who is a fabulous artist. And we're going to have a chat just about her work, her exhibitions, and her passion.
And how you came to be
where I am.
Where you are. But we've just had a very stressful setup session where we've realised the many, many holes in our technological knowledge. So you're very blessed to actually have this recording today, because it nearly didn't happen. So yeah, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So where to begin? We were thinking about people that we kind of have been, we like to ask people who we've been inspired by, or people who can, we can see just kind of diving in and doing it. And I remembered, because I've known you previously to your artist identity that we now know, and I just remember seeing on your social media one day, you must have put a post up something like, I'm just gonna start, and I'm just gonna start sharing this. And I've been following you, and we've been looking at your stuff, and since then it's really interesting to see that your confidence grows. So whether I've remembered that correctly or not, what kind of was the moment where you thought, I'm going to have a go at launching myself as this?
Yeah, there was a moment actually. I've always loved art, and I've drawn and painted, you know, from when I was a girl, and I did art at school. But then I never thought any more of it. I never even considered a career in art. I just thought you had to be super talented, and I just thought I love it and I'm okay, but not good enough. And so I just got carried along with life and fell into an office job, and nothing I was particularly excited about. I met lots of nice people along the way, but I'd always, in the back of my mind and in my heart, felt this desire to get back to my art. And I was always holding on to it, always had my eye on other artists. It was always there, that sort of desire. But then I got married, had children, carried on sort of working part-time, and got caught up with being a mum, and have loved that, I'm loving that. Yeah, basically my mother-in-law is an artist, and she's been doing art for a long time, and she's always been sort of gently nudging me and sort of saying, you must get back to your art and just do a bit here and there. And I've just always thought, I'd love to, but I don't have time at the moment. And I've always sort of projected ahead and said, you know, I'll do it when the kids start school, and you know, I'll have a bit more time then. And it got to a point where my youngest started school, and then I thought, I really must get, because by that time, three boys later, I wasn't working, I was full-time mum. And I thought, you know, I must get a part-time job and just sort of contribute to the finances, even though actually we can manage fine on Simon's salary. I just felt that I should be doing something to help with the finances, along with managing the children. And I thought, when I'm doing that, when I've got my part-time job and I'm looking after the children, then I will feel that I can have some time for myself and, you know, do something for me. So then I did my part-time job, and I found something flexible that sort of fitted in around the children that I could do in the evenings, or, you know, that worked when they were on school holidays, that sort of thing. But actually that flexibility was also a bit of a problem, because there were no fixed hours. So although I was supposed to be getting my work done within a certain number of hours, because I'm quite conscientious, it ended up being more and more hours. Mm. I was never really sort of feeling like I was on top of it. And again, I just felt, I just did not have the headspace to make this start on my art. And then my mother-in-law said to me, oh, I've done this really amazing course with this, he's an abstract artist in America, but actually he's really famous for his teaching courses, really inspirational. And my mother-in-law, Jenny, said, he's doing this free online course, just a taster thing for 5 days. Why don't you sign up for it? You know, it's free, you've just got to sign up on your email and you can just watch the videos and do it in your own time, you know. Why don't you do that? And I sort of, you know, reluctantly sort of said, oh, I'll sign up, but I don't know, I haven't got any art stuff, or, you know, I was putting it off again. But she said, well, you could just watch the videos. So I was like, oh yeah, I can manage that, I can watch the videos. And so this was 3 years ago, and I watched the videos, and actually he gave sort of basic paint sort of lessons, you know, on principles, you know, values and value and composition and that sort of thing. But actually what I wasn't expecting was, it was actually about art, creativity being self-expression. And so it was a lot about looking inward and at yourself and getting to know yourself and learn what lights you up, and, you know, so you were able to do this creativity and express what was within you. And I'd never come across this before in any sort of my art lessons, this sort of looking inward. And it was, you know, it was things like looking at your negative limiting beliefs, you know, that hold you back from creating. And it was looking at, things that light you up. When was the last time you felt alive in doing what you're doing? And sort of really thinking about activities that you've been doing that really light you up, or what are you afraid of when you're, you know, doing your creativity? What stops you moving forward with it? What are your fears? And so each day he had a prompt or a question that was sort of looking at yourself. And then you do the arty exercise. I didn't do any of the arty exercises, but the question really made me think. And I did actually write out answers to those prompts. And it was really weird. Something hit me. So I'd do this. I'd sit down and I'd think about it, write down my answers. And then I'd go out and walk the dog in the afternoon. And literally, I was crying. I'm walking in the woods crying. I thought, oh my, what is going on with me? I thought, if I bump into people in the village and they see me just crying, what do I say? I'm doing an art course. Yes. I was like, this is ridiculous. And it went on. I mean, I couldn't work out what it was. It just felt like a release. And I think it was. I think it actually even makes me emotional because we don't talk about it. But it was It was my soul, and it I think it felt heard for the first time for years and years and years. And I'd been just pushing it down, and thinking I was fine. And yeah, these questions and having to look at myself honestly and how I was feeling and what was holding me back, what my fears were and what I was aspiring to. It just sort of, I've just felt so, I can't describe it, stripped bare, you know, my soul. Yeah, just sort of really sort of vulnerable and open, and it felt really good. Mm. I couldn't believe it. I was sort of, you know, I was doing sort of shopping and the kids were coming back from school and I was doing all my normal things, but I felt like a massive shift had happened inside me.
Yeah.
And I thought, something's got to change. I think I realised that this had been going on for so many years. You know, I'd been sort of running around after, particularly as a mum, I think you're meeting everyone else's needs. And I love being a mum, but, you know, you get used to putting everyone else's needs first. And it was just a really strange idea to think, I need to do something for myself and listen to my soul and my desires and, you know, what there is something for me. And so it was this, and it was the realisation that actually I was now making it a really big thing, getting back to my art, and I was actually procrastinating, and I was actually putting it off because I was fearful that after being excited about it for so long, I think I was fearful that I wouldn't be able to do it, that actually I'd do it and I'd be no good. And then, gosh, what have I got? Because that's what I was looking forward to getting back to. And so I think I'd really, I realised that actually I was just putting barriers in the way now. It got to a point where I was making excuses. And time is pressured, isn't it? Especially when you're a mum. But I actually thought, no, I'm just not prioritising it and I need to put priority on it. So that was a big realisation. And the other realisation was, it was really my self-esteem. I think I was thinking, you know, because it was all about looking at yourself and you are unique. Everyone's unique and everyone's got something to offer. Create, you know, we're all creative beings and it is part of being human to express that self-expression of being creative. It doesn't have to be in painting. It could be anything, you know, gardening or making your house look nice or cooking or problem solving, building stuff. You know, it could be so many ways we can be creative. And I think we all are creative and we're more complete and whole when we're fulfilling that part of ourselves. It's, you know, it is essence of being human. I'm losing track of what I was saying, but it was that thought, it was that realization that actually I am unique and I'm special and I can create something unique that no one else can create because no one else has lived the experiences I've lived and no one else is exactly as I am. So even if the whole room was asked to, you know, paint some flowers, we would all paint it differently. And so actually there was a whole, it was a realisation that I was special in a way and that I could, we all are, you know, we've all got something beautiful and unique and original to give. And so that sort of really hit me as well. I felt really, anyway, so it's a bit of a long-winded story, but I just thought after that, I just thought I've got to change something. And actually I did look at my job I was doing at the time and it was very low paid. It was not really making a lot of difference to our finances. I'd just taken it because it was flexible and fitted in with the children. So actually 6 months later, I did give up that job. And I said to my husband, I'm gonna just focus on getting back into my art. And I had been sort of, from that time of that course, I had been trying to sort of little gently ease my way in. I thought I've got to sort of do something. So I got a sketchbook and just made it easy and just thought I'm just going to do a quick sketch here and there. And actually the other part of it was also deciding I was going to start sort of sharing. Well, I felt like this major thing had happened inside me and no one knew anything about it. This major shift that felt really massive to me. And I thought I'm going to sort of make myself accountable and just share it on social media. I don't have a ton of followers or anything. I've only just started my Instagram account fairly recently, but I've got Facebook with some friends on. And so I just sort of shared in a bit of what had happened, you know, what I was feeling and what I was gonna do, and this was it, I was gonna do. Because I felt I was sort of held a bit accountable. And actually it was really lovely, all the comments that came back, so really encouraging. And I think other people related to the feelings as well, which was really lovely. It's just nice to feel that other people have felt what you've felt. So it all started from there, really. And I've just been, I feel like a massive change has happened. I'm just moving little bit by little bit forward.
Yeah.
And I feel really excited. I feel really excited. Although I felt silly you asking to come and talk to me because I thought I'm so at the early stages, you know, I'm just of my painting. You know, I've just had a couple of exhibitions, local exhibitions, and just starting to set up my website and, you know, little things like calling myself an artist, you know, setting up, you know, an artist profile on Instagram and But I just feel like every little step is just getting me closer to who I am, you know, where I want to be, and I just feel really excited about what's ahead. Yeah, so that's how I'm feeling at the moment. Mm.
And that's, well, amazingly brave as well, the whole process. It's lovely to step into that new person as well. You know, it's very inspiring listening to you talk.
Well, so,
you know, because a lot of us don't step into it because we are crippled with fear and self-esteem as well. So that's the people that we do talk to. It's amazing that people just do it and have that passion and trust and believe that the bigger picture is there.
Yeah, I sort of felt like with those really strong feelings that came with that course, I felt like I sort of unscrewed a jam jar lid or something, and just this desire just poured out of me. And I feel like I couldn't put it back now, even if I wanted to. So no matter where I go with this, or even if it's just little steps forward or side steps here and there, I feel like I'm just excited because I feel like I'm on the right path, you know. Even if I can't sort of see ahead where that's going to go or what opportunities are going to arise, I just feel like just doing it, just doing my art and being open to opportunities that come my way, and I just feel like I'm in the right place, which is really exciting.
And definitely from, like, well, even just from saying that post that I saw, I think it must have been one of your first posts where you, like, just set up your accountability.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, even that made me, like, that hooked me right in, because I thought, well, that's exciting. And, like, you could feel your intention, like, through the post. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's what makes what's going to connect people with you is the journey and that self-realization, because that is so many of us, especially those steps you went when you're talking about the way you systematically put off starting until you kind of cracked open yourself, and now you couldn't put those things in the way if you wanted to because you've opened that side of it up.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's up and down, you know. I'll have spurts of painting a lot and really being in the zone, and then I'll get thrown by life stuff that comes up, you know. I want to be sort of doing things consistently and regularly, but sometimes I'll go, you know, the kids are on holiday or stuff happens, you know. There'll be periods of time where I'm not creating. But I don't know, I don't worry about it. I just think that is the ebb and flow of life. Yeah. I think that's kind of natural.
Well, we love talking to people who are kind of a similar age to us, averagely, because I think what's exciting about women at the end of kind of the young children rearing ages, they begin to find time for themselves. It's exciting to talk to people who can't just, like, walk out of the house and throw themselves into it 12 hours a day and then come back home. And, you know, it's exciting to talk to people who are dealing with the ebb and flow of life, because that is the reality for most people, especially for most women, that they are dealing with a ton of shit thrown at them and trying to be consistent with the thing that makes you happy and fulfills you is a discipline. It's really hard work, even though that's giving you joy.
Yeah.
What do you kind of set up then? Do you set up anything in terms of, like, making space for yourself time-wise, or what do you do to make sure that you don't completely lose it is the wrong phrase.
I tend to look 1 week at a time. So I'll look at my diary. I'm quite old school. I have a paper diary. I'll look at my diary sort of at the weekend for the week ahead and sort of see what family commitments there are or what's going on. And then I will actually block out mornings. It on the mornings where I haven't got stuff in there yet, I'll try and make sure to block out mornings so that I know I'm going to get a certain amount done that week. And I won't book anything else up. You know, if someone contacts me and says, you know, you know, nice things as well, like a friend, you know, do you fancy going for a walk? Or, I mean, obviously it depends, because it is important to see people as well, especially because I'm, you know, painting is quite isolated generally, so I'm at home a lot, so actually it is important I see people as well. But I, you know, it's very easy to fill up with. I do need to make sure I prioritize it to an extent, because otherwise it's just time goes by and I won't have done anything for the week.
Yeah,
so I do have to actually sort of block out a bit of time. I've worked out I was being a bit more free than that and sort of thinking I'll just fit it in when I can, but I'm realizing that actually it's so easy to for stuff to come in and take up that time and you don't get it done.
That's something we definitely, with managing two of our schedules, we definitely find that looking ahead and blocking out chunks of time, and sometimes there's more time to be blocked out and sometimes we're like, we're just squeezing half an hour.
Yeah.
But it is, that's definite something we've learned to do.
Exhibition, you've got one coming up.
Yeah.
Do you have a collection ready, or is it a slight pressure to create new things?
It's good. Yeah, it is good. I mean, so this is the, it probably would have happened by the time this comes out, but this is the exhibition at the church in Donhead St Andrew, and it's really good because they pull together some really talented artists from locally from around the area, and it raises money for charities as well, and you're sort of invited to participate. So I felt really excited to be asked. I did my first one last year, and it is good because it does make me again prioritize painting, because I think, oh, this is an opportunity to actually show my work, which when you're at the early stages, you're not with a gallery or any, you know, actually to have an opportunity to show your work with other really good artists doesn't come up very often. So it does make me, I get really excited and sort of think, yeah, crack on and paint. I do find it hard to sort of make a coherent body, but actually for this, it's, you can show a maximum of 6 paintings. So, and then you can maybe have some smaller pieces as well, portfolio pieces. So it's not like you're filling out half a gallery. So it doesn't have to be completely sort of coherent body of work. I do find that difficult because I'm enjoying trying different things. I like abstract florals or complete pure abstracts. I do life drawing classes, so that's sort of figurative, although I haven't done much painting with figures. But it's another thing I'd like to, I've got so many things I want to try, you know, but it all takes time to sort of, you know, all these ideas need time. So I just tend to madly paint, get really excited, and then I'll just pick the things, you know, as we get to the hand-in date for the exhibition, I'll just pick the things that I'm most proud of or that hopefully fits together a bit.
Yeah.
So I'll do it that way. That's how I'll do it.
What would be like, so is this your second time you've done this?
In Donhead, yeah.
So what would be like for you the next kind of step out of your comfort zone from that?
Yeah, well, I'd like, actually my mother-in-law, Jenny, who, you know, is really the one who's set me off on this path, championed me. She hasn't actually done an exhibition and she's really keen to, she's much more experienced than me, and she's really keen to do an exhibition. So she said to me, I'm going to book out, I'm going to, you know, will you do an exhibition with me? I'm going to book a slot at Shaftesbury Arts Centre,
yeah,
2025. Mm. And I was thinking, oh, that's a big space. I don't know if I can produce enough finished work to fill that. And but so I thought, but yeah, so we're going to do that. We've booked a slot, I think, sort of, it's all quite booked up, but towards the end of the year, 2025, sort of October time. So that's my next challenge, because that is more, you know, it would have to be more curated, much more volume of paintings, and you're kind of, you're responsible for hanging it yourself and getting people in, and It feels like with the Donhead exhibition, there's more place to hide because there's loads of other artists and they've got all their people coming in to look. So it doesn't matter if, you know, there's always going to be people there. And yeah. I feel a bit more safe with a big group. Whereas this feels a bit more, we'll be on show, a bit more exposed. So actually that would be good. Like you're saying, I need to keep just sort of gently pushing forward. So I'm pushing, because it's so easy just to sit in my comfort zone.
Yeah, because we definitely find like, we kind of try and look at what we're doing and we say, right, we've pushed ourselves out of our little safe zone and we achieved that. So now that's our comfort zone. So what's our next push out that could make us, that feels really uncomfortable now? Or quite uncomfortable. We go for quite uncomfortable. Sometimes we go for really uncomfortable.
But with two of us as well, the accountability is constantly there. So one will say, oh, we should, or someone will suggest, and we go, yeah, shall we? Okay, fine.
Yeah. If it was just one of us, we'd kind of pass the fear between us.
Yes.
And we luckily haven't been afraid at the same time much. So we can kind of... We feel so lucky to kind of have each other in that way. But I think that really admire people who are creative, who are kind of doing that on their own. And it's great that you've got Jenny.
Yeah.
Because anyone to be accountable to is so important, isn't it?
Definitely.
Finding not necessarily a mentor, but just someone who's going to push you a little bit, but knows your limits as well. So that's really good. I think it's really important for people to find that.
Yeah.
What would be like an out there goal for you? So if that would be like a seeable next step, what would be like an maybe not an ultimate, but like a, I would really love to.
Yeah.
With no fear, I'd love to go bum.
Yeah. I have thought about that actually. It surprised me because I do actually find this really difficult. I was really nervous about talking about myself. I love people and I'm really fascinated in other people and I love meeting new people. When I was a child, I was really, really shy. I barely talked to anyone. And I think I do wonder if that's why I paint, because I find articulating verbally what I'm feeling quite difficult and quite intimidating, especially when I was younger. To actually self-express through paint, I find much easier. I find that really feels really good. That's probably why I paint and abstractly as well. Oh my gosh, I've lost thought. What was I saying?
I just think I was going to chip in with that's interesting because you actually express yourself really well. I could listen to your podcast.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Have you thought about starting one?
That's really flattering. Honestly, I find it really hard, and I think I'm so boring. I don't know how people want to listen to me. But anyway, what was I saying? Oh yeah, the out there goal.
Yes.
So what surprised me was when I started sharing on social media, I actually really enjoyed that. Probably because I've got a bit of time to consider what I want to share, because I'm not a fast thinker. So, you know, if it's not video content and you're just sort of writing a post or you can edit it down a bit, you know. I actually really liked sharing what I was feeling, and I think I find it quite therapeutic because it helps me to analyse my feelings and as I'm going along this journey. I find it quite helpful. And then I find that connection with other people really nice as well. And so that's kind of surprised me. So I thought, I'd like to maybe do some sort of creativity course or something, working, I suppose, particularly with other people like me, other women my sort of age, I'd like them to sort of have the same realization and sort of joy that I've had with using art as a vehicle, really, to sort of become more yourself and sort of uncover those layers and just become more fulfilled and happy. And it's just such a lovely feeling. And it's not, of course, it's not always easy, and I do struggle with stuff, but I just feel I've moved on so much in my confidence over the last 3 years. And it's art and creativity that's been the vehicle to help me do that. But the biggest thing for me is not the paintings I've made, but it's how it's changed how I feel. Mm. And I want other people to experience that as well. And I'd love to maybe do an art course in person and online, so that you have that people contact, but also reach more online.
I think you'd be really good at that.
I'd love
your passion's almost tangible. Like it just, I would come along.
Yeah, I'd come along. Yeah.
And I've always gone, oh, I can't paint, I can't do that. But I would come along. Just you've got such a wonderful essence, especially when you talk about it. And I think women would flock come along.
That's so nice of you to say.
Again, to share.
Because actually it's not about being able to paint. I mean, it's, you know, yes, it's creativity and it's, you know, it could be learning techniques and, but it's sort of, it's getting over those limiting beliefs. And it was the other side of that course that I found so empowering, and it is running alongside painting, but I don't know, I find that really interesting, the sort of, I don't even know how you put it into words, you know, that sort of, that soul part, mm. I find really exciting. I'd love to, yeah, somehow be able to do something with that.
So, I actually have lots of questions. I'm just trying to think. We might circle back to this, but we do ask everybody who we interview, like if you were looking back to yourself 3 years ago, four years ago maybe, three and a half, before it all kind of clicked, what would you say to you now?
Yeah. I think I wouldn't wait so long, obviously. I think it's important, I've realised now that it is important for everyone to make sure they are doing something for themselves. You know, it's important, it makes you more whole and happy and fulfilled as a person, and actually that's not taking away from other people, the other people who are reliant on you. It actually is giving them more. You're being an inspiration, hopefully, because they're seeing you prioritise yourself and follow something that you believe in and you love. And it's important, I think, for children to see that you are, you know, you're prioritising yourself as well. You're not just there just to give. So I think that.
But you're raising boys who see a woman who is, you know, doing the things that everybody needs in a parent or a caregiver, but also making time for herself, seeing, and then that's what they're going to value in, you know, the people they find to be their partners and things. I remember one of the things that's really special about my mum is she always used to make time for herself to paint, actually, or, you know, take some creative time. And I've grown up with that. And to me, obviously when you try and implement it in your life, but to me, when I did, I was like, hang on, this isn't weird. I grew up with this. This is what my mum did. And she would say, I need it. And my dad would be like, yeah, you need it. Go. and they would. And I'm happy to see that model. And you're modelling that for your children. And that's something they're going to value in their partners. And that's exciting for the future generations.
Yeah. I think that's what I would say to myself. And I think earlier on, I would look at are my reasons true, you know, for not following this, for not doing this now? Or have I actually just almost made up these excuses as a sort of safety net? Because it's easier actually to give yourself a reason to stay where you are in your comfort zone and say, oh, I can't do that now. You know, because it's scary going on onto something, taking a risk, isn't it? So it's easier to sort of almost make your little cage and think, I can't, you know, I'll do it in the future when I've got time and when I've got, you know, the finances or when I've you know, whatever, got materials or... and actually, are those reasons really true, or are they just excuses that you're using to keep yourself safe? So I think I would question myself a bit sooner on and sort of test these beliefs and see if they're true. You know, and some people sort of say, I'm not creative, I'm not a creative person. You know, where have you got that belief from? Because actually, I think we're all creative. Sometimes, you know, we're told that from a young age, from, I don't know, a teacher or a parent, because you've got a sibling who's really creative and you've been boxed, labelled as something else, you know, the intellectual one or the something else, whereas actually, you know, that creativity is for everyone. Just, you know, try things out and find your thing.
Where can people find out about more about you? Because obviously we are an audio thing about a visual thing.
Oh yeah.
and we obviously will share your stuff online and share some of your, but I'm sure after hearing you talk, people will want to see your stuff. So where can they find you online? What is your Instagram? Mm.
Yeah, if this has struck a chord with you, I would love it if you could come and follow me on Instagram. I'm at Jess Luck, as in good luck, Jess Luck Art. And I have got a website, which has been a big challenge for me because tech does take me a long time to work out.
I'm trying to have a growth... we try and outsource.
I'm trying to have a growth mindset about it because I was going to say I'm rubbish at tech. But no, Jess, come on, positive. I can do it. It just frustrates me because it takes ages to work out and I just want that time to be painting. So I find it difficult. But I have got a website and by the time this comes out, I shall have loaded all my new paintings on it. Because I'm very good at... I love painting. That's all my body wants to do is paint. So I love the creativity bit. And then I lose momentum with actually getting it up onto the website to sell... Because I just think, oh, I could start a new painting now.
I think a lot of us feel that way.
But if I want to make this work as a business, I need to be better at that side of it. So please come and look at my website, which is jessluckart.com. And you can sign up for my newsletter if you would like. That would be lovely. Because I haven't really got anyone signed up yet.
We'll sign up.
So I haven't actually bothered sending a newsletter yet, but I will do when I get some people signed up.
We have learned, actually, just talking about your website and stuff, and I think there is a difference between things limiting you, like one of the reasons we didn't start, we wanted to do this podcast for ages, and one of the things that limited us was we didn't really know how to do it.
The fear of tech.
Yeah, the fear of tech. And as just demonstrated today with an hour to sort out that problem, but we have kind of just cracked on and done it. But the moment we can outsource the tech side of this, we probably will, and we have learned that there are other people who are like creatives, who like the person who designed our website, for example, is completely different kind of creative, but like he is so clever in that you go, and can it be like this and like this, and he can just see it and make it happen. And one of the biggest things we've done is let go of the control of that kind of thing and said, like, right, if we can like budget it into what we're making, then we cannot get our heads around this, and we need to prioritize. You know, we'd rather be singing or writing or listening to people like you than designing a website, which we just gave up on. So there is, I think there's something to be said for like trying to make as much happen as you can, and then at the point, like giving other creatives a little go at it, because some people just love it like you love to paint.
Yeah.
You know, some people just love technology. Like,
so I could actually be doing someone a favour.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think...
Well, now you say it like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can let go of that, because I think... I think as kind of women and women who are trying to do it all, like it's hard to not hold on so tightly to every element of it. But we have found at least some relief in just being like, okay, we're going to trust someone else with this bit that we absolutely was making us sad in terms of like, we can't do it. So just like a something we've learned, like, and it's not always possible, and like financially we can't do that at the minute, like with the podcast. But if we could, there would be certain elements of it that we would absolutely love someone else who felt the way about podcasts that we do about singing and making the podcast. Just go. Enjoy editing our podcast.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I definitely will bear that in mind. I feel like at the moment, I'm trying to sort of get everything set up to a certain just basic level and just have a basic understanding.
Yeah.
And then when I get a bit more momentum going with my art and start...
It'll become apparent, won't it? When it becomes something that maybe needs updating more, or you're blah, 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 and it's becoming a pullback, but you need to facilitate it. It will become apparent when you need to do it, but I don't think there should be any like shame in passing anything on to anyone.
Yeah.
Or in being like, actually, do you know what? This isn't my forte. I can't do a website right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You're so right though, that it does free up time to do stuff that you really want to do, which is really important.
Yeah. And I always find it mind-boggling that someone finds making websites as exciting as we do. Fine, creating
and
other
they do
stuff
it so quickly,
and they're just like, "Yeah, done it," and it looks so good. Mm. I find that with like sound tech, sound tech, lighting. You know, like
finances.
People like finances. I don't. Do people love spreadsheets?
Yes.
We've done interviews with people who love a spreadsheet, and we're trying to make ourselves love a spreadsheet. We don't love a spreadsheet.
I heard that one. I heard that interview, and I just thought, "Wow."
We've done one spreadsheet for the cabaret, and we've been very strict with it, and it has helped, but I don't know if we love it. But anyway, yeah. It's someone else's passion.
Yeah.
And I just find people amazing in that way. Mm.
Which is like you were saying, we are all unique. We all have our own path and our own journey.
Yeah.
Mm. And ours is not technology.
No, it's not. It's not my journey. Thank you so much for talking to us. Honestly, it's been so lovely listening to you and hearing your passion. And yeah, I think people are going to find it really inspiring.
Mm. Well, thanks so much. Because when you asked me, I had real imposter syndrome. And I just thought, oh gosh, I my story's really not interesting. I haven't got much to say. And I was saying to my sister about it. Because I was saying the podcast is all about brave women, and I just feel the least brave person. And my sister said, well, but actually you're relatable, so that's a good thing. So I said, yes, I am that. So I hope I've been that.
You have. You're it's actually about passionate women.
Mm. Yeah.
And you are really passionate and brave. But bravery comes from the passion. Like, until you had that passion, you weren't brave enough to do
it. Yes, it does drive it, doesn't it?
And so that's what we're passionate about, is finding people who are passionate, because that is the most inspiring thing. And everybody has something that they're passionate about and that can drive them forward.
Mm.
But really, until you know what that is.
And from living with guilt for years, that is another layer. When you've got children especially, and you're trying to do this and do that, and it's wonderful having them. But you have to be doing this and everyone has to be happy. Like you said, you're giving away all the time. And suddenly, to find that release, a lot of people don't suddenly find that, oh, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yes.
Your inner child is still like, come on, let's play.
Yeah.
And you're being seen.
And you're allowed time.
Yeah.
Which we all, at some point, feel that we're not allowed time because we should be prioritising everybody else.
Oh. Right, well. An hour later than we said. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we really hope that you have been as inspired as we have been when we were talking to Jess about her journey. And as you're going through your own path, if you find a creative barrier in front of you that has been put there and you don't know how to get over it,
our advice would be
just do it anyway.